So, if you have been kind of following along with the lectionary, you know, last week we were in the Sermon on the Mount, around a different mount. Jesus was sharing some things. We had done the Beatitudes a while back, and last week we closed with Jesus telling people to be perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect. But this week, we find ourselves on a different mount with just a few of the disciples. But a lot has kind of happened between now and then. And I think that for us to really engage our gospel text this morning, it's important for us to know the scene that Matthew has set for us. And so, coming off of the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus and the disciples have been doing some walking around. They've been doing some healings and some miracles. They've gone toe-to-toe a couple times with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious authorities of the day. And if you read the chapter just before this one, the 16th chapter, as it were, you'll find a section where Jesus asks his disciples, after they've been around and doing these things, "What do the people say about me?" And then he makes the question a little more pointed, and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter jumps in. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Peter is praised for this answer by Jesus. But then Jesus sternly orders the disciples not to tell anyone. And then, having told them that order, having given them that order, he starts to set before them the game plan for what he expects coming up in Jerusalem. That he's to go there where he will suffer and die, but raise again on the third day. And Peter jumps in again and says, "God forbid that this would happen." But this time, Jesus rebukes Peter, and he says that Peter is fixating on human things and not divine things. So that's the conversation that has just happened prior to the events of this morning's gospel, where Jesus, it says 6 days later, Jesus takes Peter and James and John and goes up this other mountain where the transfiguration event happens. Now this event, this would be great for like a made-for-TV special. You know, we got these great special effects, Jesus' face shining, he's got this sweet new outfit all shiny and white, and you know, there's some awesome cameos from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, showing up, making their callbacks. And Peter, he is loving it. He's like, "Let's set up some tents. Let's hang out here for a while." And then there's the big finale surprise at the end where God shows up in a cloud and says, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Which literally floors everybody. They're just, "Whoa, God, surprise." And Jesus goes to them on the ground where they're overcome by fear. I've got to rein it in a little bit, or I'm going to be fighting my microphone the whole time. Jesus goes to them and touches them and says, "Do not be afraid. Get up." And then as they're going down the mountain, he orders them, "Don't tell anyone what you've seen and experienced until after the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one of those disciples, I would have needed to be told that, because I would have been so excited. I've been like, "God," especially to those other disciples that didn't come along. I'd be like, "Guys, you totally missed out. We went with Jesus up on the mountain and it was crazy and God showed up and all this stuff was happening." So I would have been really just like, "Ooh, oh man, okay, I guess I won't tell anyone if you don't want me to, Jesus." It's the type of event you write home about, you know? But Jesus says, "Don't do it, not yet." And I found myself wondering about that. I'm like, I'd be really excited to tell people. Why wouldn't Jesus want to tell people about this? And I wonder if perhaps it's because, although the mountain is important, that it's not the full picture. You know, I don't think that this just kind of randomly happened to Jesus and the disciples. I don't think they were, you know, after walking around and doing this stuff, that Jesus was like, we've been doing some pretty good work. Let's just climb this mountain for a change of pace. And then surprise, it all happened. Yeah, I think there was a little bit more intentionality at work here. So why the order to wait? Perhaps you too have been in those mountaintop experiences, those times when you are just so fired up because you can't help but see the presence of God moving around you. I know for myself, there have been worship services and retreats and weeks at camp and other times where it's just been like, let's just stay here. Let's just grab a chair and get cozy. Perhaps this morning, in the midst of the joy of baptism, that this is one of those celebrations where like, let's just stay here in this moment. Having become a father somewhat recently myself over the past year and a half, I've found that children are very good about reminding us that we are living in a world with needs. That as much as we may be just reveling in the spirit in the moment of baptism, that little Kennedy might let us know in not too long that she would really like to eat or take a nap or needs a change. That there are these different things that call us back into the world as Jesus called the disciples back in the world, said to Peter, no, we need to go back down the mountain. And I think that is very true for us in the midst of our day-to-day, in the midst of God loving us and breathing into us new life and baptism and that claim and promise in the day-to-day of our families, in the community of faith, in the nourishment we take at the table, that God does this with a vision for purpose and intention. That God fills us with love and with life and breath so that we might carry that love and life out into the world to people who so desperately need it. That it is not difficult to look into our own lives or to flip on the TV or grab a newspaper and see that there are people who can't breathe, who are dying for a breath of fresh air, who are hungering and in need, who are weary and just can't go another day carrying the burdens that this life has placed on them, who are so striving for change within their lives, within their communities, for justice and good and truth to be known. That God fills us so that we might be God's hands and feet and breath in this world. The both and, the breathing in and the breathing out. And that Jesus tells the disciples to hold up, don't go sharing what you've seen just yet. Because I think it's for myself, I'll ground this in myself. It's easy to look at the stars at night and the amazement of creation and to think about the awesomeness of God, who created the heavens and the earth, who has the power to make the very mountains themselves shake, who then calls us to be light in this world, calls us the light of the world, sends us into these dark places, into the lives of people in need. And that can be terrifying. You did the breathe, breathe, breathe out, you know, that as you're waiting for the breath back, like this, fills you with anxiety. When I am called to go and be with someone, when they're in the midst of grieving or despairing about brokenness in the world that they can't see a way to change, gosh, do I feel empty. Do I feel like I just do not have what they need or what it takes to make that situation better? And I feel pretty small. But Jesus tells the disciples to wait because of what will be made known in that Easter Sunday. That same God who can shake the mountains, the creator of all things, that God chose not to come in power and in privilege, but came as a tiny infant and walked the land and spread love a love so great that he took it to the cross, but rose again 3 days later. And we have the joy of being an Easter people who know how the story ends, who knows that that is the God who we love, who loves us. And so that is what, in those dark times, when we don't feel like we got it, when we don't understand, that we go trusting that God is with us, that we remember again the words that Jesus said, "Be not afraid. Get up. I am with you, always, to the very end of the age." Because our God loves us so very much. But God fills us with breath so that we might breathe out and be breathed into again and breathe out again. That God calls us to be in this world, sharing that love so that all might know the love of the God who came and lived and died and rose again for each of us. Amen.